You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the 8th Sunday after Pentecost, July 10th, 2016, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him and saw him, and he was moved to pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine in them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spent.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one that showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
One day, a certain unnamed lawyer had become bored with the local competition and had decided to stand up and test Jesus, the new and up-and-coming rabbi in town. This lawyer, cut from a similar cloth as the Pharisees, had spent most of his life playing on a winning team. He throws Jesus his best pitch. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus, the gifted teacher, skillfully directs the lawyer away from philosophical speculation and verbal jousting and abstract premises. Instead, Jesus steers him to the sacred scriptures where God's love affair with humanity is revealed. The lawyer is quickly frightened by this intimacy, this love story. It requires everything, heart, mind, soul, body, the whole works. He finds the technically correct answer. He knows where to go. He goes to the Hebrew scriptures. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." It sounded more like a student plagiarizing from Spark Notes than someone who had really absorbed and prayerfully digested the lesson. The pious lawyer knows down deep that the two great commandments requiring him to love God, neighbor, and even himself are so comprehensive and exhaustive that he cannot possibly claim to keep them perfectly, and of course, neither can we. One of the hidden jewels of this story is how our human rationalizations for not loving unconditionally is exposed. When the lawyer asks, "Who is my neighbor?" we can see a part of ourselves who wants what the lawyer wants, an easier way out, a reason to justify our not slowing down, the slowing down of our busy lives full high of agenda. Because we do not want to define a neighbor in such a way that, after all, we don't want to be more overextended. We often define the neighbor as one who looks, acts, and talks just like us, and of course is deserving of our help, time, and attention, which we believe is in short supply. A number of years ago, at another parish far, far away, and I told the 8 o'clock, that's code speak for not St. Thomas, to protect the innocent. I was serving at the 8 o'clock service, and I was late. There had been a windstorm, and I flew right past a parked car on the way to church. Looking back in my rear view mirror, I saw that the two people I had passed were active parishioners in our church. They were moving a large branch to the side of the road. Now, it was obvious that they were not beaten or bleeding to death. But I was too anxious and preoccupied about getting to church on time to stop and at least inquire as to how I might be of help. But because God is who God is, this couple became the best neighbors possible. They were able to extend mercy and forgiveness. And so I keep learning the lesson. I wrestle with God. Sometimes I wrestle with the demons. I rather snuggle up at night with God than the demons. You know how the story goes. God continues to give us the reminders of how to be a better neighbor. Now, we don't need a PhD in Christianity to know that what the moral of the story is. What happened to the man at the side of the road was absolutely horrible. But even worse was the lack of compassion of those who could have helped but chose not to help. It doesn't matter that the badly beaten man didn't use his best judgment when he decided to travel alone on a notoriously dangerous road, or that he might have been a member of another culture or ethnic group, some questionable religious group for sure. But what it matters is what that Good Samaritan did. He saw the need, he could do something about it, and he did it. And what was so incredibly beautiful about it is that he was the least likely to have done the right thing in the eyes of the Jewish audience who first heard this parable, because Samaritans were, in Jesus' time, seen as religiously and ethnically inferior. It's so tempting to stop listening to the story as soon as we recognize that the Samaritan is the hero, which clearly he is, and then quickly miss the insights into our own human nature. Both the priest and the Levite help illustrate these dark sides of our nature in the best way possible. Jesus knew the inclusion of the priest and the Levite were a critical part of the story, and that is why he made sure to add them. They were critical because they personified the resistance to a deeper spirituality that all of us encounter along our spiritual journeys. Jesus did not choose to include the priest and Levite out of an accident, but out of a purpose to show the only way to see the Good Samaritan is to see, by contrast, the temptations that we all face. In Jesus' day, it was very important for the Levite and the priest to follow the rules. After all, they were seen as some of the most holiest and best of human beings, at least in theory. If they were terrible people to begin with, why would this story need to be told? It'd be totally predictable, and it loses all of its spiritual juice. We would do well to remember the good reasons why, like the priest and Levite, we pass by those in need. We too have urgent duties that sometimes will not permit delay without large consequences. That's a fact of life. We too worry about being taken advantage of by a person potentially feigning distress and then turning around and robbing us. We too are anxious about being attacked while helping someone on a deserted road, or any road for that matter. Sometimes we too allow ourselves to think someone is so beyond rehabilitation or deserving further resources that it makes no practical sense at all to keep investing in their recovery. We too can find ourselves suffering from compassion fatigue, overwhelmed by the many requests for help and the exposure to raw human pain again and again. These are real concerns and internal resistances to serving, that we need to acknowledge so that we can be freed of them and allow God to transform them. The primary arena for this transformation, I believe, is in the interior life, in our prayer lives. You will be amazed, if you haven't already been amazed, about how much more you can see and how much more compassion you can feel and express if you just slow yourself down and quietly listen to God for just a few minutes each day. In this deeper state of contemplation, God's voice has much more of a chance of rising above all that clatter and noise in our lives, the distractions, our rationalizations, the cultural blinders, so that we can see God in the unrecognizable places that he chooses to dwell and reject the temptation to pass on by the other side, because ultimately all of God's children are our neighbors. No matter which character in the parable of the Good Samaritan you personally relate to at this moment, the lawyer, the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, the wounded man, or the innkeeper, we all belong to Jesus. Jesus, the one who fully embodies compassion and mercy, and helps us to see that all of our reasons for not passing on the other side, to make sure that we acknowledge those so that they don't come in from behind. Imagine the person in your life right now who looks and acts and talks least like you, and that you believe is the least deserving of your help or your time, attention, or financial resources. Discover and re-engage with the compassionate Samaritan that's within you. Sometimes we have to have the Samaritan come out, and contemplate those mysteries of Jesus' unfailing mercy, the true ingredient for neighbor. So we are called to go, love, and serve, and to do likewise, for this is what we know as eternal life. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.